Welcome to Stay Cool Forever,
the podcast where we are deconstructing some 90s classics with a 2018 lens and deciding how cool they are.
How cool, problematic, and if they hold the test of time. And, you know, just to start it off, I think it's been kind of a fun experience now that we're finally switching genres.
Agreed.
You know, rom-coms were an interesting endeavor.
Yeah, a bit of a slog. Not my choice in movies. You know, it was not more for, like, action or supernatural.
Yep. Speaking of, I can't wait to watch part one, and I think I'm going to do that later tonight, of one of the movies we're watching this month.
Ooh, which one is it?
Well, do we want to just say what movies
we're going
to... Okay, well, I'm saying I can't wait to watch Die Hard 1 tonight.
Oh, nice. Good research.
We're going to be doing Die Hard 2. We're going to be doing Charlie Brown, It's Christmas Time Again.
Yep.
Miracle on 34th Street, colloquially called Santa Goes to Court.
Yep.
We just watched Home Alone. That's this episode. And I'm definitely missing... Oh, Die Hard 2. I just thought... Did I wasn't counting it on my fingers.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So this episode's Home Alone. Premiered 1990. I assume Thanksgiving weekend. I don't know. I didn't look it up, but...
Probably.
To be honest here.
Yeah. For your IMDb reference, this I thought was a dream team of kind of 90s Christmas romp movie. You've got Chris Columbus directing.
Yeah. What else has he done?
I'll go backwards.
Okay.
Pixels, Percy Jackson and the Olympians.
I know that.
Rent.
Yeah.
The first two Harry Potters, which are...
Which
are kind of kids' Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Like, I know they all have Christmas, but they feel the most like Christmas. He did Bicentennial Man, Nine Months.
9 months, I don't know that.
Is that a Hugh Grant comedy?
Naturally.
Mrs. Doubtfire?
Really? Okay, yeah, you know, actually, Mrs. Doubtfire does seem a lot in the same vein as Home Alone.
Yeah, I think this guy had a good knack for doing, like, the kind of PG family movies that, you know, had child main characters. Okay, so that's director.
Good for him.
Music, John Williams.
Shut up.
Yeah. Which I thought was kind of amazing, like, the overture to this movie where you have the little blue house and the slow, like, starting on that nice major theme, and then it goes dark and, like, really cryptic, like, Nutcracker.
Wow.
It got me really jazzed for it, because it was like, oh, shit, like, there was a lot of care and, like, professionals working on this. Like, you had, like, a good director, you had a good
fine composer.
Written script by John Hughes.
Really?
Oh, who my gosh. Rattled off again. Like I said, dream team. Going back, or I'll just go forward. So that guy did 16 Candles, The Breakfast Club, Pretty in Pink, Ferris Bueller, Christmas Vacation, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Uncle Buck, all the Beethoven movies, all the Home Alone movies, 101 Dalmatians, Flubber. He did Miracle on 34th Street, which we're going to be watching.
Shit.
And also Drill Bit Taylor. So slight decline in ratio of, you know, it can't all be all killer, but there's a couple duds, but yeah, like, impressive resumes from everyone involved in this. And of course Macaulay Culkin was like the 90s it kid.
Yeah,
so I really felt like this was kind of a magical, you know, like, apex of all of these people's careers.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked. You know, right before this I said I didn't really research anything because it's fucking Home Alone, and here are all these great facts. It's kind of bewildering and a little mind-blowing, considering. So, Bicentennial Man, I actually liked that one.
I never saw it.
Oh, no?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was Robin Williams.
Yeah.
He's a robot. It was cool. That was right around the time for me to being a kid watching something where I loved Robin Williams. I think it was after Jumanji.
Mm.
Maybe pre-Patch Adams.
Okay.
Or maybe post. I don't know.
But Robin Williams definitely had a series of, you know, kid-friendly movies.
Correct.
Flubber. I'm assuming Bicentennial Man was, you know, if it's the same director, was probably, like, really sad and tragic.
Yeah.
And, but kid-friendly.
It was. Why can't you love me like a human?
So is it like AI?
It's exactly like AI.
Okay.
Just as high concept.
And dark.
And dark, yep. Wow, you know, I wondered why that music was so good. They honestly had... They had a bunch of typical, I feel like, 90s holiday songs.
Mm-hmm. Like the Rockin' Around, the Christmas Tree.
Correct, and that whole vibe when, like, stuff's going crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like really whimsical, kind of like Looney Tunes style mm-hmm. score that really like punctuates the action in exactly. like fluttery ways.
Yeah, rather than being something that is like a focal point in the scene, it just, it's coupled, it's buried into the scene. It's really, really quite nice. So I guess you want to just start with, do you want me to start?
Please.
I'll start. Well, check it out. Like most things, it was okay.
Well, again, you know, the 90s podcast, we don't love anything or get excited or care about things, so.
This is alright. This is malaise.
Elaborate.
So, it was fun. There were moments where I got really into it, and I thought it was just a lot of fun. I think the most fun portion is obviously when the guys are breaking in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole third act.
That was a lot of fun. I liked how they were getting attacked in series. You know, that really kept me engaged. But most of the lead up to that is just so, it seems so contrived. But I realized that as I was watching it and I was being a curmudgeon, I thought, holy shit, this is probably what all of these other ideas that I have in my head came from. They're all contrived from this. But because I haven't seen this movie probably since I was 4 or 5, I'm considering it contrived from everything else I've seen of other kids' movies.
Right, like when this was maybe the original first style, and then you've seen it parodied or recreated.
Correct.
Yeah,
and so that kind of re-engaged me and made me think how interesting it was. I think there were a little bit of the writing came across as a little weird because it seemed, a lot of the stuff that McCulkin was doing, like when he first wakes up and he goes through his morning routine, he's got a 45-year-old man's morning routine.
Oh, sure. His whole voice is that of someone way beyond him in intelligence.
Yeah, and so I would have kind of preferred seeing an actual kid mm-hmm. experiencing it, and I realized they tried to throw some of that in there, and I felt like the radiator making noises at him was like their attempt at that, mm-hmm. except it didn't really translate when the way he talks and the way he acts as this 45-year-old middle-aged father.
Yeah.
You know, and so that, I think, was the biggest disconnect for me. Not gonna lie, I was waiting for Donald Trump the whole time.
Right.
Just to be like, that motherfucker before it all happened, and, yeah, it's not in this one.
That is the second one. And I got them confused, too. I hadn't seen any of these since I was a kid, like at least 20 years ago, so
mm-hmm.
I was getting things confused between part two and part one.
Isn't there like 3 or 4?
There's a couple more. Macaulay Culkin was only in the first two.
Is that right?
And I forget what kid they got for the third one. There's another spinoff. And
probably Lip Nicky's Busted Ass.
There's probably a dozen of them, actually, but the only original canonical ones, in my opinion, would be 1 and 2.
Home Alone canon. No. Well, in the canon,
Going on the, you know, voice of a 45-year-old man, like, it was certainly jarring. Like, Macaulay Culkin gives very dry deliveries and obviously his maturity. He's talking like a 50s gangster half the time.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a big theme in this. Like, why don't you make me? Or did I burn the place down? I don't think so.
And but you see, so he goes, Mom, I'm watching rubbish, you know, when he's watching
eating
that.
Junk food. Someone better come and stop me.
And, you know, hands on hips. But it just seems that it's implied that might have been his first playthrough of that movie.
And I think it was the movie that he wasn't allowed to watch.
Correct.
The night before.
Correct. I 100% agree. That being said, he talks like he's seen that movie the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that was just a little weird. Maybe he's seen other early cinema gangster movies.
Yeah, well, I think just one thing I noticed in the movie is that all the TV they're watching is old black and white stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's watching Johnny Carson, he's watching 50s movies. Even in France, what is on the TV at the hotel that the family is at
is still
old school black and white. So I think the movie is just positing that, like, that's the only entertainment these people have consumed, as kind of like a weird timeless John Hughes-y, like, let's just say this. And not be topical, because it could have been really dated if they were going off of, like, you know, they're watching Jay Leno or something.
Sure,
who
yeah.
gives a shit?
Desert Storm's on the television.
Sure.
Yeah. rest in peace with HW, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Mm.
That's it.
That's, sure.
That's all I got for that. All
right.
Unless you got...
No, I don't want to get political or have any thoughts. You know, he's... He did less damage than some presidents, so I'm not gonna curse his name.
So yeah, I mean, it's weird. So I don't know if you know this, Macaulay Culkin has a website and podcast now.
Okay.
It's called Bunny Ears, and it's really, really interesting. He's had a really interesting life, because he's been rich since a kid, basically, and he had a good family and business manager, so that he's pretty much set for life. The guy just jet sets around the world and has homes in Paris, New York, L.A.
Wow.
So
like Johnny Depp that managed his money well.
Yeah. Yes. And he literally, he lives this like vagabond life of just, I feel like I want to move to England. And so he'll move to England for 6 months and then that's it.
Wow.
Come back. So he leads this really charmed life, and he has, in some of the interviews I've seen, he has this sort of, you know, ambiguous, like, life, where he kind of dips into all sorts of different things. It's really quite interesting. He's kind of like intellectual, but also still a kid. And I don't know. It's weird because when you see him in Home Alone, you think, oh my God, was this in the kid the whole time? You know, and so I wonder how much of that is just a figment of who he is, or was his life, is his life a result of Home Alone?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously from monetary, I'm talking from a mental capacity, like his character.
Yeah, because he was like a really good child actor.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
Or was it just the strange dry delivery that uniquely, you know, like Christopher Walken has his unique cadence. I think Macaulay Culkin also had that as an actor.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's something I was trying to separate in this movie. Like, oh, is this growth or is he just a sociopath impersonating adults the best he can? Because he clearly, like, you know, like his intellect severely outweighs his maturity.
Correct. Correct. And so I know for a fact, I'm in some of these interviews with Culkin, he says that filming for this movie took like almost a year.
Because he was a child actor.
Because he was a child actor and can only work so long, you know.
But he's in every scene.
Yeah, exactly. And because he's in every scene, you know, they had to line up 40 and 50 people for, you know, grips and sets. And you can only imagine how long those, when Joe Pesci and
Daniel Stern
show up, you know, and they're being waylaid by him with all the traps, how long those shots must have taken.
Mm-hmm. He isn't in a lot of them, though.
Ooh, interesting.
Because a lot of it is just them falling into the traps.
So, wow.
So him filming on the same, you know, probably filming different days or something like that.
My God. He really isn't in too many scenes.
No, just like in the background doing like a yes, like from the other room.
Yeah. My God.
Yeah, really, the whole time, like, they are on the outside of the house and he is on the inside, so they absolutely could have filmed all of that, you know, without the
probably
other
in
half.
A couple of days, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. So maybe he's really actually a shitty actor, and why did it take him so long? If all they're doing is walking in and around the house.
I do have to say, I did, as an adult, going back to watch it, while it is jarring and he doesn't act like a kid and has the old man sensibilities, it's kind of more entertaining for, you know, the adult to watch. Like, I'm sure parents watching, you're like, oh, this kid is so, like, wise, and I get all of his jokes and references.
Totally.
Even though, you know, the 10-year-olds are just there for the pratfalls and, like, the burglars getting, you know, paralyzed over and over.
I agree. My burning question to you is the grocery store clerk. Would you have sold the groceries to him? Is that allowed? Do you think this is okay?
I think the movie kind of posited that it wasn't, but again, like, we're talking 90s. I was a latchkey kid. Like, I was allowed to be home
alone
and supervised, you know, at that age.
Yeah.
And I think the shopkeeper does a good job of giving him the third degree, like, question after question, but he's so mature and prepared. Like, you know, my mom's out in the car, my dad's at work, like,
now,
he's got a response ready for her and kind of wins her over in an almost, like, charming, like, you know, again, he's like, he's acting like a sexy young man that's, like, conning this grocery store lady into, don't worry about it.
Yes. Now, like, if it was me, I probably would have been like, just you? And, you know, he'll go, yeah, and I'll be like, all right, well, this is the total, because you don't want to offend the kid.
Yeah, if he's got the money, he's a paying
customer.
He's got
the money, I guess, and it's not alcohol.
Yeah, he did everything correct. Like, he did the transaction properly.
Yeah.
And then I love how when he's carrying the groceries home, the bags break, and he just looks directly at the camera, like, wah, wah.
Yep. Now, did you notice in that fall, that the fall of the groceries, that fucking everything is empty?
Oh, like all the cans and stuff?
100% that shit is empty.
Did not catch that.
The way, like, the box of cereal fell and some of, and, like, one of the jugs, I thought, you couldn't even, like, put up for real props.
That is, like, a weird Hollywood thing. I was watching something the other day where someone was drinking a cup of coffee and someone knocked it out of their hands and it was clearly empty. Like, you know, you don't get the sense of the weight in the things because they're props and it's probably easier for cleaning up the mess or getting the takes.
But, yeah.
But yeah, like, those are little details. They're like, I want realism.
Come on!
If this kid's gonna drop groceries for a gag, like...
And you know what it is? He probably couldn't carry that real amount of shit in those bags.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so, that's what it was. It was the soap, the laundry detergent. That shit bounced like an empty fucking plastic container. And I thought, oh, okay, and now I'm realizing that that was probably too heavy for however old he was. Love, Joe Pesci got a problem with the way the story opened, where no one addresses the cop in the room.
This world that it takes place in is very confusing sometimes because it is almost cartoonish. And his family, they're all like, we can talk about them being incredibly wealthy or sociopathic assholes.
Must be incredibly wealthy.
Yeah, but that whole opening scene, I was like, it starts with Pesci in the house.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so one of the kids, cousins, son, you know, sons or daughters, let him in the house, and he's standing there for the whole scene, and like his parents have no idea. No one has addressed the fact that there is a police officer present.
There's a problem here. There's a problem with no one addressing this cop. And the fact that Macaulay Culkin wasn't packed. The parenting in this particular scene is fucking a little crazy. Because let's be honest here. If you got 30 kids and family, however many, 16, to send across the world, I would have had this, you know, nailed shut, locked up, written down. Don't you think? What are they doing with this last minute shit? You got way too many young kids.
Yeah.
If you got the money, hire a nanny or something to help with that.
And even when Macaulay Culkin's talking to the other kids and, you know, they're like, don't worry about it. Mom's just going to pack for you because you're a baby.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the night before and things are fucking crazy and hectic. So why is this kid not packed?
And the feigned care and concern over him from those same kids the night before... Let's be honest here, they don't care.
Yeah, like, all of these people were assholes.
And if they did care, she would have looked that one kid in the eye when she was counting the heads.
Mm-hmm. That, I think, was like an older cousin or something, though. The person who was in charge of the head count was not a parent.
Totally fine. Totally fine. Speaking of cousins and this, I wanted to show you... I was going to text it to you, but I figured it would be more fun... to do this on the air. For those of you, Google Devin Rattray.
Buzz,
dude. Look at him now. He's a piano man.
Nice.
Isn't that fun?
Did you ever see Little Monsters?
No.
Okay, that's the only other thing I recognize him from, because he always plays like some Biff Tannen. kind of just like 90s bully that's just like... You know, like I like to scorch ants with a magnifying glass and lie to little kids to make them scared. And...
He grew into a fat Simon Pegg. Well, I mean, good for him. He must be doing okay.
I guess.
But that was just, I couldn't help but Google him. Because I got a problem with these bullies in these 90s movies. Because you're like, okay, who the fuck did you become? You know, because I've never seen you before, and I think the bullies in these movies, I think, probably never ever show up. It's really the star child actor, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm making a broad generalization about child actors. Sue me.
But he kind of reminded me of, like, the freckle-faced kid from Sandlot.
Yeah.
You know, like, the more, like, you know, kind of a blunt, doofy kind of, you know, older kids.
I've got a hot take for you. I hate kids' movies.
Really?
I don't like The Sandlot. I hate The Goonies.
Okay.
This movie was okay. I think I have this personal aversion to children's movies.
Because you were robbed of your childhood.
Yeah, probably. That's the end all be all there. Probably because I was robbed of my childhood. I didn't get to have all this kind of fucking fun. Mm-hmm. But that being said, after watching Home Alone, I feel like I should go back and maybe rewatch some of these movies with a more fun lens, aka marijuana.
Sure. And they're all so, like, cartoony and unrelatable and dated that, like, there's, you know.
Yeah, I remember I was telling you I was feeling like I should start watching cartoons again just because I feel like maybe kids' movies is a good gateway.
Sure.
I don't know.
Older ones.
I don't know what I'm looking for here.
I don't care for these new kid movies.
No. No, definitely.
I can't relate to them.
I can only relate to 90s kids' movies. Pre-phones. How are you going to throw away Macaulay Culkin's boarding pass? And how come that was the only boarding pass that got wet? All of those boarding passes should have been in the same place.
Oh, yeah. And they conveniently sweep all of his shit in to the trash. Like, the parents don't fucking care about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, again, we're talking about the cop standing in their doorway. The pizza guy shows up. And he's like, someone's got to pay me for these pizzas. The scene continues. We go mm-hmm. here and there. They are eating the pizza. And it's like, someone needs to pay the pizza guy. Like, this dude's on the clock. You haven't even paid for this shit.
And you're already chowing down.
Eating. And then, like, the mom ends up having to pay him cash only.
Mm-hmm.
He's always knocking down the jockey statue.
Yeah, bad pizza man. That's a bad pizza man.
Yeah.
If there ever was one.
Could have been worse, though, for 90s. Like, I would have expected. I know it's a kid's movie, but
smoke,
like,
opening in the door.
Sure, yeah.
Or
like
playing Daisy
flannel.
Yeah, wearing flannel.
Exactly. Like, blasting Pearl Jam or something.
I feel attacked. Wearing flannel. So I took a record, Wade, of the first time they said Home Alone. Do you want to guess at what point in the movie that was?
I know the goons say it while smirking at each other when Pesci finally puts it together. He's like, he's home alone. And then they, like, grin at each other. Like, that's a good thing. Like, hey, we're going to rob a house. We just got to murder an 8-year-old. Like, they think that's a good thing. Like, an empty house would have been good.
Mm-hmm.
But they treat that as if, like, oh, great, it's just a child that we have to murder.
That is, in fact, I'm pretty sure that's it, 1 hour, 2 minutes. I'm pretty sure that's, like, an hour in. It's when they finally realize that happens. The first one is at 30 minutes and 53 seconds.
Plane ride, parents?
Yeah, that's the mom makes the reference when they're on the phone. Mm-hmm. Then it's 32:24, then 32:48, then an entire drought until Pesci and Stern at 1:02, and there you have it. He was home alone.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been used more. He never said he was home alone, so yeah. Kudos to him. He was pretending the whole time. Another fun point that I've got here is it was 1983 for that entire slew of groceries he purchased, by the way, just a 20. He had, what was it? He had a soap. He had cereal. Can't remember anything else, but I gotta tell you, it's not 1983. Three of those items would have brought him to 15, and he had like 8 or 9 items.
Yeah. And where did he get the money? He robbed Buzz's life savings.
For the pizza.
Oh, right.
It was directly after he got the life savings from Buzz, he ordered the pizza, and that happened to be $12, which, my God, in a world where you can get a large cheese pizza delivery for $12.
Mm-hmm. He did say, thanks for the tip, cheapskate. So.
Yeah, respect. You know, I mean, I get that. But, again, let's go back to the pizza guy. The pizza guy got a nice tip last time he was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I know some people who tip $100 at Starbucks, $100 and $200 just for Christmas, and then never fucking tip the whole rest of the time.
Yeah.
So, now, two questions. Do you think that's okay?
To tip really good once and then not tip a second time?
But, like, exorbitantly good. And it is just a coffee place.
I mean, as someone who worked in the service industry, sure. Like, an exorbitant tip is great. Sometimes you get stiffed. You know, appreciate what you can get when you can get it.
Yeah.
That pizza man had to put up with all their bullshit that first night, though. So it was almost one of those, like, rich person, like, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, they're like, oh, sorry, I punched you in the face here. And they throw a lot of money at you and mm-hmm. say, make this problem go away.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, I feel like the pizza guy's got to be traumatized from delivering to this house.
The second time.
Because the first time they were assholes, and it's like, oh, what a bunch of assholes. And then the second time,
mm-hmm.
I loved the using the movie repeatedly.
Like, repeatedly,
it traumatized him. He shouldn't have watched it. He was too young. And then he uses it several times later to try and, like, maybe traumatize other people. But the pizza guy, he used the dialogue to get the pizza delivered. And it was good. We were done. And then when he was like, thanks for the tip, cheapskate, he, like, mischievously grins and decides to go ahead and play the shooting part at the end. He didn't have to do that. He got the pizza. It was done. But this kid likes violence.
So, what you're positing here, Macaulay Culkin likes violence.
Yes. Even though it, like, scared him at first, he gets a taste for it.
Oh, and then he's bloodlusting for it.
Yeah, which I thought was weird, too, when he's going through Buzz's stuff. One, Buzz has an Ice-T poster.
I know, the Ice-T poster's pretty prominent.
And a gun hanging over his bed.
Yeah.
90s.
Yeah.
But,
a really shitty air rifle, by the way.
Yeah.
I had an air rifle, and that thing would totally kill animals if you wanted to use it that way.
Mm.
This guy, he shot Joe Pesci in the face with it, and it barely hurt him. It must have been a just BB gun.
Oh, he shot Pesci in the dick.
We shot Pesci in the dick, Stern in the face.
But yeah, he definitely gets a taste for violence. Because, like, okay, one of my, like...
It's a taste for violence. It's true.
Well, because that's a lot of what the movie hinges on. It's like the Three Stooges kind of amusement of watching adult idiots get hurt repeatedly. And, like, they should have died several times. I think this has been discussed elsewhere, too. But, like, they fall down stairs at least 3 or 4 times.
No concussion.
On their backs. Like, yeah, no broken spines, no paralysis. Like, a lot of this stuff should have killed these guys. And the kid, like, granted, they've come to his house several times and he's scared them off with, a porch light.
Yeah.
His weird mannequin Disney Imaginarium situation. That's where right. He's doing pulleys, like, just, like, genius.
Yeah, like, way above his pay grade.
Yeah, and then when they finally come in, he never once calls the cops, which feeds into my
he loves... He does at the end.
At the very end.
Because he wanted to see the pain.
Exactly. He could have done that at any point, but instead he goes to a deadbeat Santa, he goes to church.
Shout out Deadbeat Santa, though. Deadbeat Santa's a cool kid.
Oh no, I like that a lot.
Yeah, but it's a good scene.
But it seems so odd, because it was one of those, like, you know, people are trying to break into your house and you're in danger, but he's going to the Santa, like...
Oh, he doesn't care.
For, like, consulting for wisdom on, I miss my family, and he knows he's not a real Santa.
Yeah.
And I love that guy, how he's, like... wearing a coat and smoking a cigarette and he's getting a parking ticket. Like, we've so quickly established what a piece of shit this guy is. But the kid's resourceful enough to go find him and not call the cops until after he's gotten to hurt these guys. Like, that was always an option, but he decided to do, like, I thought of it as, like...
You're right, he knew to call 911.
Yeah.
But he waited until he... and snared him in his Rube Goldberg-ass traps.
And he lies about who he is. He's like, my name's Murphy.
It's like, right.
You could say, I'm a kid, I'm home alone, someone needs to come, like, whatever, watch me till my parents are here, protect me from these murderous goons. But I think he wanted to do, like, a stand your ground thing, because he got a taste for violence. He could have gone to the authorities at any time, but he's like, nope, I'm going to leave the window open, I'm going to leave the basement door open, I'm going to set these violent traps... and only call the cops when I'm halfway through, like, paralyzing these guys.
But I find it interesting that you enjoyed this movie more than I did, and yet here you are.
No, I mean, like, sure, it's a huge plot hole, but like I said, it's a cartoon world. Like, I can enjoy it despite it being very unbelievable and unrealistic. It just makes this kid more of a psycho.
It's psychopathic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even, did you notice the American Psycho parallel where he's doing his, like, shower routine in the morning?
Oh,
he is literally,
wow, I didn't even make that, he's but
like,
you're right.
Yeah, he's like talking about his products, like, I like to use this shampoo and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he's like talking to himself in the mirror, and it reminded me so much of that, like, American Psycho scene where he's talking about, like, I do 1,000 crunches a day and use a facial peel.
When did American Psycho come out? I'm gonna look that up.
I think it was definitely after this.
Really?
Maybe not the book, but the movie definitely. And I don't know if it was intentional for them to have him doing this American Psycho routine. I just, like...
Is the Christian Bale one the only one outside of maybe a much earlier one?
There was a sequel with Mila Kunis.
Okay, no. Well, this was 2000, then.
The original American Psycho?
Oh, Psycho. There it is. 1960, Alfred Hitchcock. I knew there was an earlier one.
Oh, Psycho. Yeah, that's like the horror.
Yeah, and then there's American Psycho. Holy shit, dude. I'm going to watch that, too. Not to completely derail this.
Oh, no, it all connects. Like,
that's amazing. He's a psycho. So do you think talking in the shower about your routine is psychopathic?
It could have just been a narrative device because he is home alone. Like, he's got to talk to himself to kind of tell the audience what's going on or how he's feeling.
Yeah.
But I prefer to believe that he is just talking to himself because he's like a smart kid with a lot of thoughts.
He's a boner.
How so?
Just a major boner, that kid. Because he should have called the cops, first off. And the parents should have called the cops. I don't know. I understand he got picked on by the entire family, but also he's kind of a jerk-off kid.
Yeah.
You know?
They established that he's a troublemaker, a messmaker.
Yeah. You know, I wonder what his grades are like. Honestly, that was one of my first thoughts, by the way. I wonder what your grades are like, you little kid. You know, are you getting citizenship grades or not?
That's the weird thing, is I think we're to believe he is a bad kid, but also super smart, which is a bit of a trope. Like, the kid who's like, you know, traditional school doesn't work for me. Like, you authority figures are, you don't get my genius. And his family takes it for granted. And they all fucking, like, pile on him.
Pile on.
I forget what he does, but it's like, that uncle is a piece of shit.
Yo, yeah.
Look what you did, you little jerk. They, like, call him a disease it's and like, give him a stare for, like, a solid minute.
Wow. Where are the parents? You know, there's no, you know, the where is the law? Where's the adult? Non-existent. And assholes. Just outrageous. That would never fly now.
And oh, yeah, it would be abuse.
Yeah. You know, and then she knew he was up there. Why didn't she go up there to check the attic?
Because she was just too busy. There were too many kids, too much hubbub.
That doesn't sound right. So, I was thinking about it. I think he only had three other siblings. Four is enough for the parents to keep track of. And then there were a pair of cousins with no parents, and then a pair of cousins with parents.
Mm.
So, that means that's two variables without parents. Those are the kids that should have been left home alone. It's my hot take for Home Alone right there. Shouldn't have been Culkin.
Yeah. Going off your where are the parents bit, like, the mom has a fight with Kevin the night before where he's like, I wish my family would go away forever. And, like, you know, this is one of those, like, I hate you, Mom and Dad. And the mom seems to, like, I thought Catherine O'Hara was great.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to sink in, like, well, I hope you don't mean that. You'd feel pretty bad if blah, blah, blah. Don't you think that, like, that would have stuck with her at some point before halfway through the plane ride where she's like, you know, I had a bad fight with Kevin. I should see him at some point and be like, hey, buddy, it's going to be a fun trip. I just want you to know I love you. I'm sorry about last night.
Like, no, that's... she was fine to let him sleep on it.
Yeah, like a loving parent might have done that, but it was just like, oh no, we slept in. Hubbub, hubbub, hubbub.
My God, you're right.
And then they sit in fucking first class while all the kids are in coach. Mm-hmm. Dick move. Because those kids were clearly out of control. And these assholes are up there like... drinking champagne, the uncle's like yelling at his wife, I'm like, fill it up.
Yeah, what shitty fucking parents.
Yeah, and I don't know if this is, whatever, plot armor, so they wouldn't notice, like, hey, we're all sitting together, Kevin's not here. I'm sure it, like, serves the story. But on a practical level, like, that's fucking rude. Sit with your shitty kids.
Yeah.
On your plane.
Like, suffer through it. Well, and for the sake of the rest of the plane travelers. You've got unattended kids now in coach. 9 of them. Maybe more. Maybe less. 80% of this podcast is true.
Yeah. And would that fly today?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I would be like, we need to find who the fuck's parents these are. Because they're not just flying alone.
Yeah.
Although one time, I did fly from... L.A. to Florida, and I got seated next to a little child who was flying alone.
Hmm.
And I watched Coffee and Cigarettes on a plane.
Is that a hard R?
No. I mean, it's just all black and white vignettes, and it's all talking.
Okay.
It might have been rated R for a couple F words, but it was really interesting being stuck on a plane with the most well-behaved child I had ever seen. And I thought, who the fuck sends their kid alone? And the stewardesses were apprised of the situation and would come by and they're like, you're gonna see mommy when you get, when you land or whatever. Mm-hmm. So is this some illegitimate pilot's kid? You know,
who lives on the plane.
Yeah, no, I mean, seriously, dude. I was sitting there like, first of all, you were very well behaved. But secondly, what's going on here?
Sorry if you said, how old?
Honestly, Culkin's age.
Okay.
Probably 8.
So like a little young to travel alone.
A little young to travel alone.
And this was obviously post 9/11.
Yes.
So, wow. I wonder if it was just one of those like... Yeah, how does that even work? Do they make exceptions? Do you have to have a parent like drop you off and pick you up? It seems like a huge liability.
I have no idea. I've never seen it. I mean, you can't even go to PG-13 movies like by yourself. You know what I mean? Yet they're sending kids across the country.
Perhaps they just assumed it was a Disneyland trip or a Disney World trip.
It seems crazy.
Yeah.
I know you can. So I have done notaries in the past for people traveling without their kids if they're under 18. And a document has to get notarized. But the catch here is as the notary, you wouldn't see the birth certificate. So this woman is just saying, this is my kid. But I cannot prove if they're related or anything. So I don't understand why you would need a notarized travel document. And that's usually generally only for separated parents.
Okay.
You know,
because yeah,
because if they're going to leave the and that's usually leaving the country, so like that way dad knows that they're leaving the country. So that must imply that if a minor is leaving the country, both parents must be, you know, in agreement that it's happening. Mm-hmm. So there must be some sort of birth certificate document going on. So for this kid that I sat next to, someone had to know that she was going to see a parent of some sort.
Yeah.
And we're leaving that connection up to the TSA?
Yeah, like an abductor got a document notarized and put the kid on a plane.
Exactly.
Who knows where.
Exactly.
Interesting.
It was really weird. What kind of quotage do you have on here?
Mostly Kevin quotes.
Okay, but you got some quotes?
Absolutely.
I've got like 6. I was thinking we could rapid fire them.
All right, yeah, let's do it.
Okay, first one I got. How am I supposed to shave in France?
All right. I can't be a wimp. I'm the man of the house.
Oh, nice. Was that when he was by himself?
Yep. When he first catches on to the burglars and is hiding under the bed.
Salt turns the bodies into mummies.
Oh, I want to talk about old man Marley later. his whole, I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore.
That's right.
He just goes out in the front lawn like a child asserting independence. And
a total, what's the name of the kid movie? Lord of the Flies.
Yes.
A total Lord of the Flies moment. Yes. Did anyone order me a plain cheese? So the kid's used to getting a whole cheese pizza. Come on. I'm used to half and halves.
And his dick brother deliberately ate it all.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. When I grow up and get married, I'm living alone.
No, yeah. That might have been the trigger for me. When I was like, man, this writing ain't for you.
Yeah,
you're way too old.
Sounds like a 50s like stand-up thing.
Yes. When he's looking at Pesci and Stern, then he goes, I'm upstairs, dummy. Again, to the point of, he just liked the violence. I am upstairs, dummy. It's crazy.
Gets them every time. Some of the Crooks quotes that I really enjoyed. Sanny don't visit funeral homes, little buddy.
Oh, yeah. Totally morbid. Does Santa have to go through customs? Fair question. I don't know. He should.
He's like real extrajudicial. He's sneaking into people's houses all over the world with no air traffic control licensing.
We need some sort of vaccination record. What if he got Ebola, man? He could infect the whole planet.
Oh, yeah.
Consider that. That was my thought.
After he delivers presents to the Democratic Republic of the Congo, he's gonna...
Just saying, everybody gets a present.
Yeah, he's gonna get that sack all dirty and then
bring it... Says the Jew, huh?
Hey, that's... It's heartfelt concern, man. That's real big of you.
Woo! Put the goat's blood on the doors. I think it's your quote.
Let's see. I saw 100 kids this week.
Oh, yeah.
But he's like, hey, you know that kid? Have you seen that kid before? Like, he's been casing so many houses and just
many houses.
And it's not extremely creepy for him to say that.
Clearly, the north side of Chicago's got a lot of rich white families.
Mm-hmm. Who just trust the law. I mean, yeah, that tracks.
This tracks. This definitely tracks. Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. Best line. Woof.
And I'll end it with the one right before that. Like, an entire magazine of people with no clothes mm-hmm. on? Disgusting.
Yep.
Not into porn.
Tosses
it aside, keeping it friendly while nodding to the adults in the room.
And I think we would be remiss with how good of a line, keep the change, you filthy animal, is.
Yeah. I didn't look up if that was a real movie.
Not sure. Yeah, me
assuming
either.
It wasn't, and it was just written to work perfectly for the needs of the movie.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so great. Gruesome and fun, and the maniacal laughing while firing the gun, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, just so violent and intense.
I should have kept a record of keep you change, you filthy animal, how many times that showed up. But honestly, when I heard it, I got a smile on my face and thought, you know, this is a cute movie. It does end up being cute. Let's talk about the neighbor. You wanted to talk about him.
About the neighbor kid who's rummaging through their shit when the van is getting ready to take them to the airport?
No, I thought you were going to talk about the shoveler.
Old man Marley.
There you go. He's got the
man. Neighbor. Yeah, okay, so, like, as a kid, this movie was a little scary at times.
Yo!
Like, not necessarily the tension from the crooks, which I found scarier as an adult, watching the kid, like, oh no, like, hiding under the bed, like, there's people at the door, like, turning on the light, like, Dad, can you come help me with the Christmas tree? Like, that shit's creepy as an adult
100%.
Watching. But the neighbor who, God, the musical cues, his dead, cold stare,
mm-hmm.
the fact that he doesn't talk until it's convenient for the plot, like,
yeah.
Buzz is telling that horrible story, and he just, like, looks up. And you have that dark nutcrackery Christmas music. Yeah.
Perfect.
And in his whole, I'm not afraid anymore. And then there the guy is again, just staring at him.
Like, yeah.
Dude, you're clearly terrifying this fucking kid.
It should have been
obvious. Say something. Say, hey, I'm your neighbor, such and such. Like,
no, don't you think that cocksucker of a neighbor should have known that he was home alone when he saw McCulkin?
Anyone should have known. There were, like, the neighbors didn't exist. There was so much noise. There's, like, dudes screaming, blowtorches, guns going off.
Yeah!
Like, pizza men screaming and running away.
No one's calling the cops!
And the parents apparently tried to call the neighbors, because when
yeah.
the wet bandits are knocking off the neighbor's bandits. House, he hears that message, like, hey, I think my son's home alone, can you go check? And then Daniel Stern with the fucking snorkeling goggles mm-hmm. is like, you're right, they are out of town, like...
And it seemed so convenient that she would get pushed through police bureaucracy about a missing kid, you know, a home alone kid.
Yeah.
And if she had just called 911 and said, my kid's home alone, none of this would have happened.
Yeah. And the cop who makes the house call and receives the call about it is just grossly incompetent.
Grossly incompetent.
Like, the dude's got donuts on the receiver of the phone, and he's like, what? You want me to make a standard social services call to check on an unaccompanied child?
Yeah.
He seems so put upon.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's 90s tude or for the script. And then when the cop goes to check, he's like, hello? Anyone home? Well, guess not. Like,
nobody's home!
Can't find your child. Like, I knocked, man. I did my job.
So fucked up.
And then just leaves. And even again, after... they come and arrest the wet bandits. They leave the kid home alone.
Yeah.
Like
just leave him again.
He's just been through trauma. They don't question him. They don't ask, like, hey, yeah. your house looks like a fucking disaster area, and these two guys have, like, concussions and internal bleeding. Like, mm-hmm. we need to talk to you or keep you safe till an adult is present.
And it...
just left him there.
And it does seem that when mom does show up, are we to assume... that Macaulay Culkin cleaned it up.
It's just, yeah, the house is magically clean, and he has adult pajamas on and left milk and cookies for Santa Claus.
Completely, like, fine. He's sweeping up blood and glass.
And tar.
And tar.
And feathers. And yeah, I don't know, the...
there's a lot of support from the audience where you just have to accept.
Yeah. Which I can buy if he put up the mannequins and did all that shit. Sure. Like, he would have cleaned that up the next day. He's been setting off fireworks inside the house, like, you know, every day.
Pretty Febreze.
Cleaned that up. He's, like, eating the junk food. So, like, yeah, clearly he's resourceful enough to clean, but we don't have to think about it.
Yeah. And I think that's my biggest problem I find in movies is I'm too critical and analytical. Because it's like, that wouldn't happen. And so I was trying really hard to turn that off. And so I think I have two, whenever I watch something in this 90s vein, I have two separate brains. One where I'm accepting the plot. Right. And one where I write down everything that is totally not copacetic.
Okay, so in the case of this one, is it one of those where a lot of it doesn't add up, but I was having a good enough time to overlook it? Or did you find it too unrealistic?
The first. At the end of the day, I wanted to just enjoy a kid's movie. And so, obviously, with a kid's movie, I'm not going to get a fully fleshed out suspension of disbelief.
Mm.
And that's okay.
Yeah, because I guess the target audience doesn't even consider these things, so exactly. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
A bit of a jump. Question for you. So he watches Angels with Filthy Souls. That's the name of the Keep the Change, You Filthy Animal movie that he's watching and is traumatized by. Presumably the first extremely violent adult movie he's seen.
Yeah.
What was yours? Because, like, I think back in the 90s, it was a little more common for, like, kids to see shit they shouldn't.
I saw
have.
Eraser in theaters.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah, I think I must have been. Let's Google it. Yeah, I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger Eraser. It was super violent. I remember the first kill. The movie had a real green tinge. This came out in 96. So I was 6 years old.
Okay.
Actually, 5 and some change when that came out, and we saw it in theaters.
Yeah, I remember that one had, like, laser guns.
Yeah. I growing up, I apparently my dad loved Arnold Schwarzenegger because I have all these memories of Total Recall, Terminator, Eraser, Die Hard, a lot of action movies as a kid, a lot of rated R action movies.
Mm-hmm.
What was yours?
It was an Arnold movie as well, probably the first Predator. I know
Predator.
My dad took me to see T2 in theaters.
Okay.
And I forget when that came out, but I was born in 84, so I was probably like 10 or younger.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know, we'd get the whole, like, you know, cover your eyes if there's a nudie scene, but again, as with this movie,
91
Americans don't have 7
yeah
like Americans don't have a problem with extreme violence when there's children involved, but, like, yeah, just all, like, the nudity, that Puritan hang up of you know, sweeping sexuality under the rug but letting the violence fly.
Amazing.
Which I wanted to discuss in our, you know, current climate where there's a lot of discussion on, you know, gun violence and there's, you know, a shooting every day, that, like, would this movie be appropriate as a children's comedy now with its heavy reliance on violence and machine guns for laughs?
Oh, wow. Yeah, when you put it like that, I guess not. I was gonna say yes until you did rely on the machine gun violence. I guess the answer is no. That movie is definitely caught in time.
Like, I enjoyed it so much, but there was that point when the burglar's, you know, third actor about to bump in and he's got the pellet gun, and I know it's just a pellet gun, but when you see a child standing there with a weapon, you know, like, I have to defend the home, cocks the gun, I was like, whoa, shit, like, this doesn't feel like a cute action movie, but with a kid. This is like, nowadays, like, there would be an AK in the house. Or a real gun.
Yeah.
Like, what if he shot Pesci in the dick and Stern in the head with a real gun? Now this child's a murderer.
He has
to live with that.
Oh, there's a 2018 lens!
Not that all that shit wouldn't have killed those guys multiple times.
Well, the persistence is fucking ridiculous.
Like, their death wish.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I know we've had a blowtorch to the head and fallen down the
real
step.
Real lack of third-degree burns, but that's okay.
Yeah. I stepped on a nail. But it's cool.
We're gonna get this kid.
Yeah. Oh, paint can to the face. You know what? Like, surely now, that has to be his last trick. Like, oh, they both climb the fucking rope to his treehouse?
Oh, so he can cut it? How stupid.
Where's the blood? This is 90s. Like, Temple of Doom, he rips a guy's heart out. That was PG. Like, this...
Oh, my God. Wow, great point. Great point. Where is the blood? Yeah. Before we wrap this up, gotta love John Candy.
Oh, yeah. So delightful. Just
that's
like,
fun.
Yeah, perfect. And I kind of felt that Planes, Trains callback to this, where he's like a traveling guy who's traveling with, yeah. You know, with the mom under weird circumstances.
Yeah.
But that positing of like all of the musicians as deadbeat dads.
Yeah.
You know, when they have that heartfelt conversation, like, oh, none of us see our fucking kids anymore. But they're nice, and they're riding in the back of a U-Haul.
Like, yeah, not even a real van that couldn't afford it.
Like it might as well have been a farmer's truck with like pigs and chickens in the back.
That's exactly,
such a cartoon thing.
Exactly.
Okay, real quick before we do wrap this up, I got to project my headcanon onto this.
Okay,
like, that weird. If you're familiar with the movie Jacob's Ladder.
I'm actually not that familiar with it. Give me a quick...
I'm not going to spoil it, but it basically hinges on the idea that everything you see might not have happened, or that it was kind of happening in a symbolic way.
Okay.
Day one, Kevin is home alone, and he sleds down the stairs into the front lawn. Dies. The rest of the movie is his journey coping with death, you know, through his own lens. Because, hear me out... Okay, there's the furnace. There's the devil furnace that he eventually, like, he has to grow up and learn to defend the home. Come to terms with that. He's haunted by the specter of his neighbor who might be a symbol for God. Because eventually when he goes to church, I mean, remember the bandits are like, I'm not going to follow him into a church. Yeah, me neither. So they're like evil. He finally goes into the church, ends up bonding with old man Marley, healing his family while he, you know, teaches him the value of family. And he kind of has to grow up fast and come to terms with being dead by conquering these bandits. You know, that's his gauntlet to, like, achieving enlightenment or whatever. And then in his, you know, dead fever dream mind, he imagines that his family did give a shit about him and came back. And, you know, instantly went back to taking him for granted.
Or, if we continue down that vein, the plane crashes and they all die. And so they're all happy to see him. Because they're back home together.
Like a Lost thing.
Yeah.
So he died, but then their plane crashed. Yeah. I had to look for it.
That's really good.
Because it goes too well. And this movie has Christmas magic. His wish comes true. The tree falls on the power lines to conveniently make them all running late and... You know, it conveniently
works
out.
There is magical tinkering
in
this movie, for sure.
The deus ex of old man Marley showing up with that shovel. Because remember, you saw him with the shovel earlier, but now he's a friend and he's here for good.
My God, I think you nailed it. You should write a dissertation on it, for sure.
I will. But there's a sequel, so... I guess I'm wrong there. Initially, I thought he was a quantum leaper from the 50s.
Nice.
But that
would have been good too.
But that didn't add up. I literally got to the third act and I was still writing like, oh, here's another thing to support that theory. But ultimately, it collapsed under its own weight.
That is fantastic. Do you have a band ranking?
Absolutely.
Do you want me to go first? Would you like to go first?
I'm gonna go first this time.
Please handle it.
Weezer.
Why?
Because the sequels weren't any good.
Oh.
but I still enjoy it when I go back and listen to it. You know?
Old album's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a hit today and yesterday, but
my God,
didn't care for the rest of it.
Fantastic.
What was yours?
The Cure, because this is clearly a depressed kid's opus.
All right.
I mean, dude, the whole time I was hoping he wasn't happy his family came home. That's my honest take on this, was I was hoping that he wished them away, loved it, conquered the people, and then was like, I don't need you guys now.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, he was self-reliant in the end.
Yeah, I love a good independent kid that's depressed. I think that's exactly what's going on there. I'm Zach.
I'm Wade. Forgot to do that earlier.
And thanks for listening to
Stay Cool Forever.
You can catch us on damn near everything now.
Yeah, why don't you do the social...
It's iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, iTunes... Did I say that twice? whatever.
Listen to it twice on iTunes.
Oh, iHeartRadio. Yeah, there you go. Nice. Pippa, I can't think of any other place, but yeah, check us out. Yeah. Stay cool forever. Woo! Woo!